Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Steve, and our congregation is pleased to share this message with you today, and we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Blessings as you listen or watch. Message we'll call How to Make the Most of Your Time. How to Make the Most of Your Time. Ephesians chapter 5. We never know what a day will bring forth, and so it's always good to be ready. Be ready to meet the Lord and also be ready by serving the Lord faithfully as well. Making the most of your time, Ephesians chapter 5. Required reading in our house are several books, and here's a couple of these books, or three of these books, that are required reading. Men will advance the slide. Clint Emerson is a survival expert, and he's written several great books. There's another one coming out sometime at the end of next month, already almost in March. And he's a former military man. These are great things I believe every person should know, just for survival skills and how to be aware. This is a term called situational awareness. So escape the wolf, it's risk mitigation when you're traveling abroad, when you're traveling anywhere, how not to be an easy target for someone to take advantage of you or to assault you or to steal from you. The 100 Deadly Skills Survival Edition, I like that one. It's like how to make fires and how to find food and forage and survive if you're in the middle of the woods or stuck somewhere, what to do if you're stuck in a car in a snowstorm. It has all that type of stuff. And 100 Deadly Skills, that's also like if someone is walking up to you and is attacking you, or someone's assaulting you with a gun or a knife, how do you respond to things like that? And so I have my kids. This is required reading, and they read it. And I've had both daughters have read Deadly Skills, both of those editions there, at least once, maybe twice. And Kyle's coming up. He'll start to read those at some point as well. And I like the idea. This is a wonderful term, situational awareness. Anywhere you're at, restaurant, store, driving your car, to know your surroundings, to know what's happening. As we read these verses, there's a word that's the word circumspect, and I believe the best way to understand the word circumspect is to know the word or the idea of situational awareness. We could say it this way: spiritual situational awareness. That's the best way to understand the word circumspect. Tread carefully. Know what is happening around you. Know where the threats are at. Know what is a possibility in any given circumstance or situation that you may find yourself in. Be aware of your surroundings and be careful of what's going on. Be careful is a good way. So like even like sitting at a restaurant or in a church building, being aware, you know, where I'm seated, I like to know where the exits are at and where people are coming and going because of these books, of knowing what to expect and what to look for in any given circumstance. And we need, in the same way, spiritual circumstantial awareness or situational awareness. Notice in your passage here, we'll begin reading in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I've loved our study, going verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. Our message today, I'm in making the most of your time. Making the most of your time. There's a double idea expressed in that sentence, Take heed how you are walking. There in verse 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See or take heed how you walk, and see that you are walking circumspectly. And so it's not just the fact that I'm walking, but the manner in which I am walking. We unpacked that idea with the three walks found in this passage last week. And so we'll continue this idea of walking. Now it's walking circumspectly, having spiritual awareness. Now notice the phrase in verse 16, redeeming the time. Can you say that with me? Redeeming the time. Now let's say the whole verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's a cause there. There's a reason that we redeem the time with wisdom. It's because these are evil days. The word redeem means to redeem or to pay the payment of a price. It means to recover something from the power of another, to ransom, to buy off. If you redeem something, you're making an exchange. You are exchanging one thing that's valuable for something else that is valuable. And the Bible says that we are to redeem our time. In other words, make the most of your time. You don't want it to go to waste. Make the most of your time is the most practical definition of this phrase. So don't waste your time. Don't let time pass you by. Be careful, circumspect, to make the best investments of your time. Now, we should live in the moment, but not of the moment. We should live in the moment looking to the future. Live in the moment, making the most of the moment, but with the anticipation of your future with your God in mind. In a larger sense, the whole season, from the time that one is spiritually awakened, he is redeemed from the vanity, not knowing God, to knowing God. And redeem implies the preciousness of opportunity. And so if you have time, and we're all still here, thankfully we are, we can redeem the time, make the most of the time that God has given to us. Now, in Titus, Paul says something very similar to Titus for him to tell to his congregation. He says about Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Paul tells Titus, you tell your congregation, God has called them to a life of good, replace what is wrong. We saw that in the previous chapter of Ephesians, replacement principle, what's wrong, I'm going to do what's right instead, I'm going to replace that, and instead of doing what's wrong, I'm going to do what is right. And so we turn from evil works to good works, and we have been redeemed for that. Jesus paid the ransom, he paid the price. And then we're told that we are to redeem our time. Now, let's just look at the beginning verses, beginning in verse 11, that are preliminary to understanding how we are to walk circumspectly. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reproving is exposing them, pointing out this is what's wrong. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. A lot of secret sins. There's a lot of corruption that's not yet found out. But all things are reproved or exposed, again, that are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light repels the darkness. It's not the other way around. Light can always shine through the darkness. And have you ever had one of those UV lights or a black light, and it kind of shows you a black light, it shows you all that dirt? Don't you hate those things? Like, oh, I thought I cleaned it really good. Oh, no, missed. Look, all these smudge marks and stuff like that. We don't use those at our house, but I've used them before for things like that, to kind of inspect or look at things, and it exposes. It shows. It reproves the corruption or the darkness or just the dirt in that case. So sins are exposed by shining light into sin's darkness. Now, reproving has to do with exposing, like I mentioned, and convicting, finding fault with. And if you do what's right with that, then you correct it. You clean it up. You change it. The instruction in righteousness, then how to keep it right, as another passage would tell us. Now, the Bible tells us, Paul told Timothy, tell your congregation, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. And so there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of sin. He says to rebuke that, to reprove that. What is sin? What is sin? A lot of people would say, well, you know, who cares about sin? But sin is what separates us from God. Maybe an arrogant fool would say, I've never done anything wrong. But all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone, whether you acknowledge sin or not, all of us are sinners. Even the best and seemingly most righteous individual person is still a person fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is breaking the rules. It's trespassing. I like the idea of sin as anything that we do, say, or think that displeases God. Anything we do, say, or think that displeases God. Sin is defined in Scripture simply as the transgression of God's law. In 1 John Chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. It's stepping over a line that God put there. He put it there for our safety and for what is good, but we step over that line and disregard it, and we are violating God. We are sinning against the Lord, sinning against ourselves, and sometimes sinning against others. So, with this situational awareness in mind, we're walking circumspectly to know the dangers of sin and to understand the darkness of the world that we're living in. And so the light exposes that. If it was pitch black in here and you'd never stood on this platform before, if it was black and you couldn't see anything, it would be easy just to walk off, wouldn't it? And like, hey, I think the exit's that way, it's dark, and you would fall. You know, we get injured when it's dark. That's when we trip, and many of you stub your toe somewhere, and you're like, I had the room memorized. I shouldn't have stubbed my toe on this, and it happens because it's dark. And so we need the situational awareness to know where we're at, to know the sin that is out there to trap us, and to know the darkness and the corruption of this world. So when I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When I was a youth, I dreamed and talked. Time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran, and later as I grew older, time flew, and soon I shall find while traveling on, time gone. It'll be gone, just like that. That's how it'll feel to us when that moment comes. David Wilkerson of the Cross and a Switchblade fame, there's a book, there's a little DVD, I think, video you can get. He's a preacher, a motivational speaker now, a Christian, a fine Christian man. He was preaching to a crowd of teenagers in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was an old Syrian mosque, and he titled his message, Number One Teenage Sin. He said, here's the number one teenage sin. He said, it's not stealing, it's not murder, it's not drugs. The number one teenage sin is wasting time. He's probably right. Wasting time. The Bible tells us to redeem the time. Hey, teenagers, young people, don't just sit around watching your parents do everything. Don't just watch the paint dry. Don't just watch the grass grow. Get involved and find things to do. And I believe in a lot of circumstances, it would be a sin to say, I'm bored. Now, I know I've said that. You parents have said that before, right? There's nothing to do. There's always something to do. But you don't want to waste time. Redeem it. Buy that time back. Make an investment. Do something worthwhile in your life and in eternity. So be careful to make the most of your time. How do we redeem the time? How do we make the most of our time? Now, we need to work. We also need to rest. This message anticipates something that we all need. We need rest. We need solitude. There needs to be times where our body rests, times where our spirit rests, and times where our mind rests. And so vacations are great, and times apart, and a change of pace, and kicking your feet up, and playing a game, and watching a video. These things, we all need those things. It's good in the pace of life. But how are you being careful to make the most of your time? Well, the Bible tells us, verse 14, to wake up. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, I went back and kept looking at this verse even this morning after studying all week, and the idea that a Christian has been redeemed, and he's to redeem his time, but he's to wake up because we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we're alive, we're spiritually alive in Christ. And I found it kind of unusual, and it was intriguing to me that Paul would tell these Ephesians, well, you need to wake up. They're already quickened. They're already made alive. But sometimes, even after you have trusted Christ and you're born again, maybe you were on fire for God, maybe you were serving the Lord, but that fire and zeal diminishes, and you kind of, I'm kind of tired and sleepy spiritually. And maybe they'd gone to sleep spiritually since the time he'd planted a church about 3 years before this. And he said, I need you to wake up again. And wake up, and you have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verse 11 says, now knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Oh, I love this verse. The redemption of our body, that's when the rapture takes place, that is closer today than it was yesterday. It can happen at any moment. Our salvation is drawing near. That's when we are delivered from this body of death to eternity in heaven and have a perfect body with God forever. That's what this verse is talking about. I love that verse there. So let's continue on then. This phrase in verse 14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This phrase is written in a poetic form. This is a Greek poetic form. It's a lyric. It's either a musical score, a song, or it's a poetic form and a common saying that people would have known. That's how it's written. And so he's quoting something. He's saying, this is what has been sung, or this is what has been said, that you should wake out of sleep and arise from the dead. So maybe the first century church sang a song. And it was about waking up, Christian, waking up, or we've been resurrected to walk with Christ. It's something to do with that. And so it's very poetic, a musical verse type of a song here. Now, sleeping people are not as aware of their surroundings. Situational awareness, but if you're asleep, then it's not going to work out too good. When I was young, our house, my parents still live in the house that I grew up in, was in a southern Ohio, real close to the Ohio River. In fact, we could see the mountains, or the hills, rather, of Kentucky from our house. And across the river was Kentucky, but we were right there. And at night, there'd be all this river traffic, and there's barges and ferries, and the barges are transporting coal or coke that's used for the production of iron, because there's a lot of iron in those hills down there. And so they would be honking their fog horns. And they had to do it at night because that's when they can't really see. And if you'd ever go down and look, and sometimes I would, they'd have these big spotlights, making sure they don't run into other ongoing traffic and things like this. But at any time at night, as they were going by, you'd hear a large honking fog horn. At the same time, many a night, there would be the squealing of train tires against the steel of the train tracks. And sometimes you'd hear large sounds of clanking metal, because there was one of the largest, that when it was built in Ohio, one of the largest train transfer stations, where they would change all these commercial trains from track to track, a big rail yard. And so at night, you'd also hear clank, 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 and you'd hear the train stopping or moving or going. And then sometimes there would be people drag racing their cars. And they chose our street, city street. Now, the houses are like 12 feet apart, all down for miles and miles like this. And they would they would drag race their cars. You hear squealing tires, and then by the end, you know, try to stop real quick before they would go out into a dangerous spot. But they would drag race their cars. And then sometimes they actually installed a racetrack several miles. It was across another river. But we would hear every Friday, Saturday, and sometimes Sunday, these cars racing around this racetrack. And so sometimes Natalie will say to me, "You didn't hear that?" Sometimes subconsciously I do, but because of all those noises and that conditioning, I'm like, listen, if someone's not breaking the door down or if the roof's not falling in, it doesn't matter. We'll be okay. It'll be all right. You've been there before. So being situationally aware, if you're asleep, you're not really paying attention. Or if you do, it's just like, it don't matter because this sleep is very important to me right now. Sleeping people are slow to respond to circumstances. How could I change something I don't know about or don't perceive? I couldn't change it. How could I be situationally aware and respond properly if I don't understand the situation? We have the darkness and light that's in a constant battle. We're to wake up. We have the lies and the truth. They're fighting to the death. There's the lust of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit are in a fight to the death. And we need to be aware. We need to be awakened. Be awake spiritually of this spiritual battle, really, that we're in. Wake up to examine yourself for sin. And notice how we are risen from the dead. And why did Christ rise again? So that we could have that forgiveness that he paid for on the cross. What should we do if we're going to examine ourselves for sin? Meditate on the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so you take the Bible, you examine your life, and you're aware of your sin. You explore for yourself, you explore God's will. We're talking about light in this passage. It's going to expose all the darkness, but light also is, the Bible also, a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Like, how do I know God's will? How do I know I'm making the right choice? And you need to explore that for yourself. Make some time for prayer. And ask the Lord, is this the way I should go? Is this the way I should go? Is this the right person? Is this the right job? Is this the right house? Lord, tell me, is this the right place for me? And ask these things. Exercise in spiritual truth then. Walking in truth. After all, we're walking circumspectly. At some point, friends, at some point, Christian, you must move the Bible from your head to your heart and then to your hands. A lot of time we get it in our head. It's right here. There's no affection there, no heart. And then you want me to help with what? Do this, do that? No doing anything with our hands. It has to make that transition from the head to the heart to our hands. And that's part of our waking up. You know, when you roll out of bed and you're kind of starting to get going, wake up. Head, heart, hands. Let's get these bones moving. Let's serve the Lord. Let's do something for God. So wake up to this. Number two, then, wise up. Beside verse 15 and 16, I wrote the words wise up. See then that you walk circumspectly. Be very careful, not as fools, but as wise. God wants us to be wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's a song I heard when I was a teenager, and sometimes I replay it in my mind, because redeeming the time is not always rushing through life. Here's the song. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I've lived my life along those lines a lot of times. Like, rush, rush, rush. We got to get it done. Do it now. Sometimes I'm trying to slow down. Take it all in. Meditate a little bit more. Slow the pace of life down. Making the most of our time, sometimes we think, well, we got to hurry, get it done. But that's not always the best way. You know, it's kind of like when people talk about working harder or smarter, the answer to that is yes. We need to do both, work smart and work hard, have that type of an ethic. Redeeming the time is not avoiding rest. You know, I'm just going to keep working. I'm going to burn both candles, both ends. You know, I'm going to do it like that. No, we need rest. We need to factor in proper rest. Our body, mind, and spirit needs rest and moments of solitude. Redeeming the time is not neglecting recreation. We need recreation. We need to be able to recreate and to just restore that awe like this. And sometimes recreation, a change of pace, things like this can really help. So take that vacation. Watch that ball game. Play that video game. Watch that film. Do those things. Get that walk in. Exercise. You know, recreate a little bit. Play that golf round if you're into that. Or go shoot that deer. Whatever type of thing to recreate that you need, do that. So wise up when it comes to redeeming the time. In Colossians 4, verse 5, Paul told the Colossae believers, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, and the same idea, redeeming the time. So we need to wise up. We need some wisdom. So what is redeeming the time? Redeeming the time is using our time in a wise way. Not only in a wise way, but redeeming the time is also using our time in a right way. All right, this goes back to what sin is. Who determines what sin is? God. All right, who determines what's right and wrong? God. Who determines what's the right use of our time? God. God does that. Now, we all would have our different opinions and things as far as value and how we assess and how we determine. But what is right to me may not be right to you, but we all should be asking what is right concerning God. God's word tells us what is right and wrong. The Holy Spirit will guide each believer. And here's something that's amazing about the free will of man is, and the consciousness of man, is that God lets you decide. I can't decide for you what's right for you. You can't decide what's right for me about time management. We could give ideas, we could read books, we could look and get good ideas, and we need to have our own consciousness, our own conscience then, in the Bible to understand what the will of the Lord is so that we can then live it. And then, by God's grace, you don't violate your own conscience. That's where people mostly sin, is violating their own conscience and feeling guilty and things such as this. A Christian develops a personal conscience that should be God-informed. And then you'll know, how can I use or what should I be doing with my time? So where do we find wisdom? Because as we look at this, he says to walk as wise, not walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What's this wisdom? Where do you find it? Most authors and commentators would say, well, he must be referencing the wisdom books of the Old Testament. So you think about Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Oh, they're so rich. Every teenage young person, if you want to just start reading the Bible, here's a place to start. Read one chapter of Proverbs every day, and it will smarten you up. It will change your life. You will know how to live. You will know what to do. I think when I was a teenager, that's the one thing that really changed my life, was every day I would read Proverbs for years at a time. As a freshman and a sophomore and junior, and I would read at least the Proverbs chapter a day. You know, and kids at school make fun of you for that. But it's a life-changing thing. If you want to be wise, you need to know what God says about wisdom and how to live. And it's right here. And so take that as a personal challenge. No matter your age here today, find God's wisdom. And why do we need wisdom? You answer the question, because the verse answers the question. Walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The wisdom is connected to the time that you're redeeming. In other words, because it's so evil, you gotta have wisdom. Otherwise, the corruption and the darkness will eat you alive. Life is full of evil. The world, of course, is waxing worse and worse. And then there are special days or compounded days of evil. And not your own personal sin and evil. That's not what I'm talking about. Not what the passage is talking about. But the circumstances, your surroundings, the corruption and the evil of society is so evil. We need God's wisdom as we walk and navigate life. So some days are compounded. What do I mean? Well, there's going to be days where it's just a crummy day. And there's a loss of a loved one. And there is a loss of a job. And there's someone persecuting you because you love Jesus. And there's going to be some difficulties that you face with someone mocking you or putting you down or giving you a hard time. And there's going to be some evil days like that in our life. And if you just want to think about what's happening over with the Christians there in Ukraine, they're having a really hard time. And there's a season sometimes where times are even harder than other times. And sometimes it's specific to a family or to a person where, well, evil's all around, but right now, evil's at our doorstep, and we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom to decide what to do and how to do. The heartbreak, the uncertainty, the hurt feelings, the suffering, a death, a diagnosis, and the list can go on of the evil that compounds the evil that's already surrounding you. A song to Asaph in Psalm chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. He said, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. We have wisdom and understanding both in our passage here in Ephesians. He says, I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open up my dark sayings upon a harp. Isn't that interesting? He was making music that had kind of a negative connotation to it, dark sayings upon a harp. And I will open my dark sayings upon a harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? He says, they that trust their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of the riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. What he's saying in this passage is absolutely stunning, that no matter what evil may be on your heels surrounding you, he says, I'm going to talk about wisdom. I'm going to sing about understanding. And that's the same thing that we need as we are living in this dark, dark world. So wake up, wise up. Number three, will up. Will up in verse 17. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here's another injunction, another command, another imperative to find the will of God. It's the entire objective to the Christian in your life to find God's will and to walk in it. There'll be times where you veer, maybe times where you slow down, but Christian, God has called you to find his will for your specific life and then live it. Do it. Be the Christian that God has called for you to be. So will up. Understanding, this word is a word which has to do with prudence. Understanding is the idea of bringing together. No matter how you look at the word understanding, it's a compound word as well, but it's bringing together. So here's a hostile force, and here's a hostile force. You can look this up in the dictionary, and two forces are coming together, and someone is assessing what this side and this side are saying or doing, and they're surmising, they are understanding, they're assessing what that situation looks like. Another definition is to put, as it were, the perception of the thing perceived to set or join together in the mind to understand. So here's an idea, and here's an idea, and how do they meet together? I'm going to assess that. But I love the idea that it's on a battlefield. Here's a hostile force, and here's a hostile force, and they're coming together, and I'm going to assess, because that has everything to do with situational awareness, or the word circumspect. Now, this last week, when Russia attacked Ukraine, the president of Russia, he believed that he could have the entire country under his control in 4 days. That was their game plan. That was their battle plan. 4 days will control the entire country. I thought it was interesting when you looked at the maps. It wasn't like here's just the Eastern Front. They were fighting on that side. They had people fighting all throughout, even in the interior, from all these different directions. I don't know how they got all those troops in there to these different places, but some missiles and airplanes and things like this. But Vladimir Putin thought that 4 days will have everything done, but they've encountered more resistance than he anticipated. These people are like, we're not giving up. We're not giving up. I find it rather ironic and almost shameful. Our government offered to evacuate their president. He said, I don't need a ride. I need some ammunition. I admire that. You see pictures of their politicians, their equivalent to senators, et cetera, congresspeople, are standing around with their machine guns. You know, they're not just going and hiding somewhere. That's incredible. That's incredible. Did you know that before the fighting started, they made a martial law, a decree in the land, all the men between the ages of 18 and 60 are not allowed to leave the country. They said, you can't leave. In fact, we need you to come on down here where we're at, and we have guns for everybody. You see, they assessed the situation. They said, we don't have enough people. We don't have enough stuff. No, we're not going to leave. Give us more weapons. Give us ammunition. And we're going to go in. And they were assessing. They were understanding what they were up against. Now, this is funny. The Russians only carried with them about 4 days' worth of ammunition. That's pretty dumb. They didn't have enough stuff to do what they were trying to do. And so they're running out of fuel. They're running out of food. They're trying to forage for stuff now. And, I mean, good for them that they didn't know what they were doing. Good for the Ukrainians. The Russians didn't know what they were doing. But this is the word understanding. We need to understand that word circumspect again. Understand, okay, there's a conflict here between what my selfish fleshly will is and what God's will is. There's a conflict here that I need to understand and assess between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. There's a battle raging around us between the works of darkness and the way of the light. We need to assess that. We need to understand that. And all this goes back to the will of God. Do you understand God's will for your life? Light, darkness, wrong, right, selfish or selfless, wise or foolish, godly or godless. Paul said, hey, I have this struggle every day in Romans chapter 7. He said, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I want to do what's right. But there's a lot of times when my flesh is really strong and I do what is wrong. Keep going down there. He says at the last verse, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. What he's saying there and what we should understand is there's always going to be this conflict. And we need to assess where we're at in this spiritual battle. I encourage you, start early because we need wisdom. Remember the will of God? We need the wisdom. So start early with finding God's will. Start early with finding the will of God. And if you didn't start early, start now. It's never too late to back up and say, all right, I made some mistakes. God, forgive me. There's some consequences for those choices, but by God's grace, I'm going to do what is right moving forward. I'll find God's will now. I'll walk in God's wisdom now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Great words from Solomon. We need to remember our Creator. Young people, don't leave the faith. Stick with it. Continue. And if you have not lived by God's wisdom, find God's wisdom today, adults, and follow after the Lord. Find God's will. Then stick with it. Just keep going. This is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And then assess often. Every day, when it comes to the will of God, check your priorities. Okay, we're trying to redeem the time. How do we do that? We find God's will, but you need to assess your priorities. What's important? Is this more important than this is? All right, this is pretty valuable, but it's not as much of an imperative. I need to set that to the side for a little bit and focus on this. And you kind of assess and you evaluate, you understand what the will of the Lord is. And then the Bible tells us here in this verse, Ephesians 6:6, that doing God's will is a heart matter. Because not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So start early, stick with it, assess often, and do the will of God. It's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. We can't force someone to do God's will. You can't force yourself if your heart's not in it. You can go through empty motions if you like, but it's a heart issue. So assess and look, examine your heart. The words of James echoes down the hallways of life for all eternity. When James said, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. When you walk outside today, you'll inhale and then you'll breathe out that little bit of mist that you see there, that vapor. That's how fast life is. In the big scheme of things, That's it. That's it. If God gives you 70 years on earth, if God gives you 70 years on earth, that amounts to 25,567 and a half days. Or some years that have like an extra hour on it, so that's why it says that. 613,200 hours. Oh, that's a lot of hours. How about this? 36,792,000 minutes. Now, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Those are big numbers. That sounds like a lot. Ask anybody older than you. It's not that much. It's not that much. I prayed with somebody almost 99 years of age this week. Had a great talk. I love visiting with this woman. She would tell you where to go. Where to go. Redeem your time today because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Make the most of the time that God has given to you. Hadn't had time to greet the day. Hadn't time to laugh or play. Hadn't time to wait a while. Hadn't time to give a smile. Hadn't time to glean the news. Hadn't time to dream or muse. Hadn't time to train his mind. Hadn't time to just be kind. Hadn't time to take a rest. Hadn't time to act his best. Hadn't time to pen a note. Hadn't time to cast a vote. Hadn't time to sing a song. Hadn't time to right a wrong. Hadn't time to send a gift. Hadn't time to lend or give. Hadn't time to really live. Hadn't time to heed a cry. Hadn't time to say goodbye. Hadn't time to read a verse. Hadn't time because he's in a hearse. It goes really quick. Make the most of your time. Redeem the time. Be careful of making the most of this gift that God has given to you of years, months, hours, days, and minutes. It's a gift. Make the most of it. Let's take some time to visit with the Lord. Thank you for your good participation here today. How are you redeeming the time? Are you making the most of your time? Our first question, are you spiritually awake? And by this, it's two-part. Have you actually trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Redeemer? Have you been born again and saved? If not, today you can trust Christ. Are you spiritually quickened or made alive? Along with that, as a Christian, are you kind of slumbering? Or do you need to wake up and look around at what's happening in life and serve the Lord and do something positive for God? Maybe you say, Pastor, I need to be spiritually awake. I've never trusted Christ for my salvation. And God challenged me and spoke to me about becoming a Christian. Is there anyone like that today? I've not been made alive yet. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Just raise your hand and wave it to me. Anybody? All right, you've not trusted Christ? All right. And then, Christian, are you spiritually awake? Right now, if you think, wow, I've been kind of cold towards Christ or kind of sleepy when it comes to Christianity, wake up! Wake up. Talk to God now in prayer about being spiritually awake. Number two, am I spiritually smart or wise? God, help me to be spiritually wise as I decide, as I look at life, as I make decisions. I want God's wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. That's my prayer today. Anybody like this, you want to pray like Solomon did? Give me wisdom. Anybody? A lot of hands. Yes, pray. That's a great prayer for today. Because these days are evil, we need to live in God's wisdom. And then I'll phrase it this way. Are you spiritually submissive to God's will? Are you being spiritually submissive to God's will? Or do you fight against God's will? Or do you run away from God's will? God, help me to be spiritually submissive to the will that you have, the desire and design that you have for my life. Maybe God has challenged you with that, and that's your prayer. Lord, I want to find your will and then follow it. That's my prayer. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand. A lot of hands. Yes, young and old alike. Yes, God bless. You can put your hands down. Take a moment, visit with the Lord, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a design for our life, a plan, and a purpose. We have time, such a gift. We don't know how much time, but Lord, whatever time we have, let us use it for your glory. Let us redeem it for your honor. Let each Christian here listening to redeem, to make the most of the time that you've given to them. If there's one listening, watching without Christ, we pray that they would trust you. Help us all to be awake, to be situationally aware that we would make the most of this time you've given. Lord, we pray you'll continue to bless our church as we go from this place, as we gather again next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for this missions conference. We pray that we would redeem that time and make the most of it so that others then can hear the gospel. Lord, continue to work here in this place with your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.